Stonechat. As its name suggests, these birds utter a sharp, loud call that sounds like two stones being tapped together. From the RSPB website. Scene 1, interior, late afternoon. Tip the head, next in view, Loch Long, deep and vast, bobbed with ferries and river police, homes scattered up the shoreline, leaving the water, which flowed and deepened enough for drowning, slipping around and into me. Crevices, slits, yes. I didn't know what I was, only what I wasn't. A peculiar way to form a life. Then, the rock, the mountain, I later learn hill, latching onto it, I feel as heavy as it looks. High clouds over you, blanketing, softening, obscuring. I like you made bright and brilliant. You were orange and crimson this morning, casually so, a swipe of morning. And now I feel your ridges, as if they mimic mine, your insides. Is there a rhythm there to be found? I tingle with the sensation of mirroring your curves, like Colquhoun's rocky knees, so blatantly erotic that it almost dulls the sensation it creates. I'm close to you, although on the other shore, I imagine tiny pieces of you layering the route, lower levels of soft-brushed railway miniature maker sponge trees, scratching, approximate. But now I'm distracted, away from you, seeing only the solid dark cloud of triangular peak. Faint finger-led trails of almost amber, bringing me nearer to imagining there. This is the cloud's pace, its echo hollow, more threat from below than above, more danger from within than without. What scene is playing out on the shore? Who is sighing by the water or gathering themselves for the night? And does the vampire lie within this night cloak? Will it rise up, gather up, slither and glide over the water to hang just outside my door? I sense things slipping, leaving their place, creating absence, then engulfing, like the deathly stealthily, slag heaps of Aberfan. Look at you now, and look at me, as I click on the lamp and see us both through and on the glass. You are glowing. Behind you are a million rituals of moomin fires and quieted stoves. You are azure blue and gentle pink to peach. Surely not fired in Scotland, but a potter's glaze transported from St. Ives. This desire, this longing, rounds me out, does not diminish. The moon is slipping behind the clouds, softly illuminating them. The birds begin to sound, and I assume there's a stillness that is now shifting from quiet. Night things have slunk back, have crept and folded. The moon is in the cloud, moving across it, mesmerizing. The mountain is not present, only a backdrop, just a line, marking the level the moon will sink behind, no longer an entity, a single form. And suddenly everything slows, because the moon isn't sinking, is it? We're tipping up. Shapes, mass, and weight begin to show themselves. And already I want to be there in the middle as the light comes over, comes up, to feel part of it. If I concentrate, if I focus, I can see the beginning of the dark ridge of trees that separates the upper and lower mountain. And right at the bottom, 1, 2, 3, lights, homes, 4, beginning, 5, dwellings, coming awake. Undermilk wood plays and fills the room with the dreams and desires held around those little lights. Close now, and is this the beginning of the sun, rising up to balance as the moon dips, so it hits, softly. Morning, which kind? A morning never wanted, of new beginnings, of a dawn relief that ends the night, the light. Just a slithering, no drama, more daylight than moonlight, more day than dark, more we than I, gone. Monday, morning mist, as expected, settling, hanging, wet. Malleable air, mood taking form. It is a day for horizontal. This mass now feels connected. There is more over the hill, and this landscape isn't only for me, but it mirrored me for a while. More rightly, I projected onto it the sharp, bright clarity of thought that was distance and reach without effort. Wednesday. 1.5 hours to the tree line, opening onto Midwest colours, to bright, dry, yellow grasses. The burn, now this rhythm is with us, a background filter to cleanse an over-intentioned mind. Seated on stone, and it's both blocking and making my view. In between two stone birds, crevices like eye slits appear in the shadow of early afternoon, preludes to the hill behind me, not reachable today. The river takes over the road, takes over my mind, brings quiet. I breathe deep, knowing this is consciously done. Beside me, seaweed-like, maroon and tender green, biteable slabs and cornerstones and lichen-made homes. A boulder, typo builder, and it fits, supports me. On the hill, meetings and chattings, and quick group connections with dogs and humans, the place and me, and passing a rock group. Scene 2, on the plateau. Stones, Graham and Alistair. Stone 1, Alistair, is friendly, enthusiastic, keen to talk. He's a stone on the left as I approach from the path. Stone 2, Graham, is dry, witty. He's the stone on the right. Her, cheerful, determined, with a hint of desperation. Tuesday, Stone 1, Alistair. Morning, pal. Her. Hi, hi. Phew, bit of an effort getting up. I'll just take a breather. Stone 1, going up. Her. I thought I might just hang around here. It's already beautiful. Stone 1. It's no busy today. Out of season. Help yourself. Bide with us. Oh, okay. You're going up there? Her. Climbing up, walking across the top of the rock. Which is Stone 2, or Graham. Settling, getting out her sandwiches. Actually, I'm on a kind of quest, wondering if you might have some advice. Stone 2, Graham. What you got there? Tofu. Her. Cheese and tomato. A classic. Interesting you have me pegged for tofu. Stone 2. You've got the walking gear, and you haven't lit up. So I was just thinking along the healthy vegan lines. We get a lot of those up here. Her. Sure. Well, I'll take that. I don't mind being mistaken for healthy. Stone 1. He doesn't mean anything by it. He's just been here a long time. Some things get eroded, like manners. Her. Honestly, no bother here. So, about this advice. I've tried the sea, which was great, actually, for a long time, but for months now I've been thinking about stone, something solid, non-shifting, here for the millenniums. So I thought I'd come for the journey, to have somewhere to head to, and then I saw you two, and I thought, I like them. Stone 2. Well, for starters, that statement about not moving, that's a common misconception, pal. Because we do move. We're not hill runners, you can, but we're shifting all the time. All of this, inside us, shifts. And we didn't just grow here. We tumbled. Her. Oh, right. I hadn't thought of that. I mean, humans project all kinds of things all the time onto stones, and we like to think of you as unchanging, a point of solid reference. When I saw you two, I was thinking of birds. You have these little crevices that look like eyes from the side. Are they your eyes? And I've been listening to birds a lot, symphonies inspired by birdsong and talking birds. I might have got a bit carried away. Stone 1. It's unusual to have an actual conversation. Often there's looking, sitting, taking pictures and touching sometimes with a kind of communing, I think. But we don't get all that much from that, so this is a welcome change. Stone 2. But don't get excited. just because we've been here for a while, and just because you're looking for answers and you figure us as wise, you know, don't blame us if it goes tits up. Just a disclaimer, you understand. Her. Of course. Well, okay. So I was wondering if you could give me a hand with grief. Stone one and two together. Come again? Grief. Stone one. I don't think I know what that is, Graham. Could you maybe give us some pointers? You don't know grief? Wow. Excuse me, but that's like incredible. I'll try to describe it. It's a response to something that has deep meaning for the person experiencing it. Crying can be part of it. There's no timeline for it, though people try to give it one and give it stages, but those all swap around and it's annoying to try and figure out which one you're in and also become anxious that you'll have to revisit that stage at some point. It can be debilitating and you don't know how long it will last. You haven't felt this? This might be a bit out of our ken, pal. Could you back up a bit? Says Stone 2. Her. Breathe deeply. You feel it in your body. Your body, right? You said about things shifting inside. There's a bit in The Living Mountain by Nan Shepherd. Do you know this? You must have heard of this. She's amazing, but you know, no one knew about her because a bloke suggested she give in. And then fortunately another one realised she was brilliant. I'll quote, hang on, I have it in my bag. A mountain has it an inside. Nan Shepherd. Stone one. Not heard that. I know that I don't feel like an outer only. There's a middle and a feeling coming from there, something that's part of me. So okay, this word, body, yes. I guess you could say we have this. We have an inside. Graham. Stone two. Sure, pal. There's only me, all the way through. Cut me, and you'll find me all the way through like a stick of... her. Oh, wait. That's a question, actually. Are you rocks or stones? But back to grief. Grief takes over all of you. Most people know it's happening when you cry. That makes it hard to miss. But it's also happening when you're smiling to hide how your heart hurts, or when you've woken into night terrors that trace you into the day. Do you know anything like that? Stone two. Coughs. An awkward cough. I'm not overly fond of the night. My sight isn't so good these days, and the hills can be quietly padding places, which, and I wouldn't say this to anyone, but I'm warming to you, I find unsettling. I mean, they are often our pals, the puddocks, who are, in their noisy, what I like to call their thrusting season, the birds, these are my favourites, they've got time for you, you know? They'll hang out. Stone one. Your question about stones or rocks. We're stones. We're separate from the land. You can call us erratics, actually. I'm thinking we've got some friends around here we can introduce you to. They might be able to help too. There's Ilric up the way there. He's a bit of a thinker. Her. Oh, that's so interesting. Stones, big or small. If you've come away from the earth, you're stones. Okay. And erratics. That's lovely. What does that mean? And thank you for offering to help. I have been in grief for years. In truth, I have given myself over to it. I had a belief around it. But it's time for everything else now. I came for the mountains, came here to make contact, and found you. I want to see if I can get beyond it. Tell me, what is it like to not know grief? I think you are describing something heavy. That gives you weight. We know this, I would say, but it's only part of us. I mean, it is us. It's what we are. It's what we're made of. We can't deny it or wish it wasn't so, you know? It is how we are. Being an erratic means we've been moved by the glaciers, swept along, and for now, we're here. There's a few of us. Oh, wait, there's a good bit in Shepherd around this. Oh, sorry, she's actually talking about the River Dee. But I feel it could be you two too, and it's where I'd like to be. It does nothing, absolutely nothing, but be itself. Nan Shepherd. Stone 2. Graham. this thing called grief. Now you've described it, I have seen it. People coming alone when there used to be two, birds without their mate, they settle near us, and something of how they see, what they are feeling their way through, comes to us. Stone one. It's the same, but in another way. When the kids come running through us and those who lean into us to fondle and rub like we were there. Do you know this? Her. Yes, I know this. That's happiness and also desire. I think I'm feeling the sun a bit up here. Am I getting red? You know, I should probably go. It will take a while to get down again, and I should probably go. Clambers down. But thanks. Graham. She went a bit sharpish. Alistair. Aye. She might come back. Scene 3. On the plateau. Noon. Thursday. Her. Standing in front of and in between both stones and reading out loud. At first, she did not think of stones. Grief made her insubstantial to herself. The stonecutter looked up at her, then down at his work, and made one or two intent little chips at it. Innes felt the sharp blows in her own body. She looks at both of them, from one to the other and back. This is from A Stone Woman by the writer A.S. Byatt. It's a beautiful, illuminating story where a woman without children gradually turns to stone after the death of her mother and finds joy in this transformation. Graham, is this why you're here? Do you want to turn to stone? Alistair, why? Her, I wanted to have children. I wanted to be a mother. I wanted to care for my children. I wanted them to grow up better versions of me, though God knows I've heard that's not a good way to approach it. I wanted them to know they were loved. I wanted to be with others, to find community through our children's shared lives. Look, I'm going to start crying, so I'll be brief. But I wanted something, and I couldn't make it happen. And everywhere is telling me it will complete me, that it's the highest purpose. And that has pissed me off. But I took the anger inward, and well, some years later, here we are. Alistair. Ah, sweetheart, you are drumly. Ilric, from a distance. Hi, hope you don't mind, but I've read something about this. Would you like to come and chat? I can't make it to you, you see. Interlude. While she walks, birds sing, frogs croak, walkers chatter indistinctly. Her. Hi. Wow. You're quite amazing. You look, I don't know, kind of feminine. Something about your angles and slits. And something else too. Kind of rugged and delicate at the same time. Ilric. Thanks for the compliment, Hen. Tell me, what else do you see? What's here? Her. This place, this plateau, it's like a big stage. When you come out of the dark of the tree line, you're suddenly in light, in the open, and around you are the hills, the cobbler, although I think I prefer Ben Arthur, and Bean Nan. It's like they protect you against the outside world. Everyone on the hill at this time belongs. I feel like I belong. With my blisters and thermals, I belong here. Ilric. So that's important to you? Her. Yes. Ilric. And what does it feel like to belong? Her. That we're on the same level. We're all together. I get a sense of belonging being here, even though I'm a visitor. I like it because it has nothing to do with what I think I am. My worth. It's just now. The people, the stones, and the hills. Ilric. So your grief makes you feel like an Ootlin, and if you don't have grief, what would that feel like? Her. Warm. Like the heat that's coming from you. Now you've spent a morning being warmed by the sun, in the company of desire, lit up by it, in a different tense, in the present and future, not the present lived through the past. if you don't know grief, is this what it feels like for you? Ulrich. I have a long memory, but I don't live there. Anything else on your mind? Her. This from a writer, an artist, Maria Fusco. I do not agree with this idea of envy and proximity. Envy requires imagination. I like this, and I recognize that my imagination has too long been entangled with a certain kind of envy, perhaps more kindly, jealousy, and it could explore other landscapes. Could I just lie down here for a while, in your shadow? Ulrich. Sure, Hen. You're welcome to bide here.